I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. News of the Paris attacks last Friday ricocheted around the world almost instantaneously. 26-year-old Ilwad Elman caught the bulletins at home on her TV in Mogadishu, Somalia. She was with her mother, Fartoun Adan, who saw reports flash on her Twitter feed.
Our reaction was thinking, what is going on? We never expected that's going to happen to a Western country.
Mother and daughter were both born in Somalia, but they left for Canada after Fartoun's husband, Ilwad's dad, was killed in 1996. He was a legendary peace activist in Somalia. Ilwad grew up in Ottawa, but she and her mother were not content with a comfortable life in Canada. They returned to Somalia to create the Elman Peace and Human Rights Center. From their base in Mogadishu, they work with women who've been abused and raped. They also reach out to the families who've lost sons and daughters to the Somali extremist group Al-Shabaab. This week, the pair traveled to Massachusetts to receive an award for their work from Harvard's Kennedy School. They also dropped by our studio, where Fartoun told me she sees the Paris attack as further proof that many jihadi groups have a truly global reach.
We thought we are in Somalia, we are risky, but that is an eye-opening to all of us to say anything can happen anywhere.
What about you, Ilwad? What did you think when you heard about Paris and the attacks last Friday? How did you react?
We're not safe anywhere. And I think that violent extremism is definitely the most pressing concern of our generation globally.
I mean, eye-opening, not necessarily for people who live in Mogadishu, but certainly eye-opening for Paris that this can happen anywhere. You both do so much important work on extremist movements. Let's focus on that, especially your work rehabilitating youth who join extremist groups. Have you seen a lot of successful recruiting by Al-Shabaab in Somalia and in Western countries where Somalis live? And how does this group actually win over young men and women?
Some of this we attribute to the savior complex that we're seeing young people adopting, where they think that by joining Al-Shabaab, it's a nationalistic movement for them and saving Somalia. So there's that aspect of it. But we also see young people that are pulled because they just don't have any other alternatives inside Somalia.
You know, the one of the thing now in Somalia is we don't see is the family who actually fighting with Shabaab, who wanted their kids to pull out. Mothers who actually talking to their kids saying, please come back. Don't go there. And when the kids comes back, they're always thinking, okay, I'm here with you, but what should I do? What is my choices? And that is the people we always advocating to help. It was a one story. It was a young guy, his name is Abdullahi. He came to me and he said, my mom was calling me. She is a diabetic. She was saying, please come back. I came to her. What should I do now? I can't sit there and waiting for her to support me. I supposed to help her. So what should I do?
Ilwad, I mean, how do you take a young man like that who is drawn in for economic reasons, pulled out because he has to help his mother, and then wonders, how do I do this?
Al-Shabaab is a type of group that once you leave, it's only under two circumstances. You're either dead or you're in jail. There's no defecting from them and being safe in the community. So a lot of the work that we have to do with reintegrating these young people is a component of giving them an economic opportunity, but also making sure that they have community-based protection mechanisms that are in place for them. So their reintegration process for us is giving them technical skills so that they have skills to support themselves with economically, but also making sure that they have life skills so that they can thrive in their communities once they are reintegrated. So if you have someone that has lived that experience, have gone through it, have become injured during battle, and then have been abandoned by the group, now having means of supporting themselves, telling others to leave, it's a lot more powerful than Al-Shabaab.
When the kids are with Shabaab, they don't listen to music. They're not allowed to play a football. They don't allow. So when they come to you and you see this, they really enjoying it. They play the music. One story was they were playing the music. It's very loud. And then I said, please calm down. This is too much. And they said, who you scared? We the one who are scared. And they need small things. It doesn't cost us a lot. Playing the football and listening to the music, that's what they're looking for. And having the education. In Somalia, we don't have education. And I think when we're talking about peace, we always concentrate the old man. We don't see the young guys who really need to talk about this issue and be inclusive. and listen to them.
I would guess that this conversation is a pretty difficult one to get started with kids, also the parents who probably don't want to take on Shabab. But I gather one of the things that you've done is created a questionnaire for mothers who are worried about their sons and daughters. How does that actually work? What does this questionnaire actually do?
A lot of this is focused on pulling back kids that are already with al-Shabaab. We've seen that happen, that success, time and time again, where children, like the example that Fartoon just gave of Abdullahi leaving al-Shabaab because his mother reached out to him. She was on the phone with him all the time telling him, leave the group, leave the group. So this questionnaire, what it does is it helps mothers to really make sure that they ask questions that force their child to respond in a way that makes them reflect on their situation, but also gives them an action-based response of, if they don't want to leave, why don't they want to leave? And then counter that for them to really understand why they still are with the group.
If a young man decides to join a more conservative mosque or a masjid, a parent tells him not to? I mean, wouldn't the young person just say, well, I'm being more holy? I mean, how do you even counter that?
This is one of the uncomfortable truths. We often believe that if our child is becoming very invested into the mosque or into Islam, that this is not something that you should ever question. In many ways, it's considered blasphemy. Why would you question this? He's going down the holy path. So what we encourage families to also do is to address some of those uncomfortable truths. It's okay for you to question your child if they are becoming too obsessed with a new religious mentor. We're not saying that Islam is the root of terrorism, because it most certainly is not. But there is a radical extreme ideology in Islam that is perverted sometimes to radicalize young people. And in order to tackle this, we have to encourage that parents ask questions when their kids leave the homes.
I mean, Fartoon, how do you see that as a mother? I mean, you have a kid who's suddenly becoming more reverent. Is it your role to step in and say, no, don't become more reverent?
It's true. It's very difficult. You're not going to say, don't go to the mosque, because it's like this is the wrong thing to say. But at the same time, when you see the situation we're going in right now, a lot of families are talking to the kid, knowing what they're doing and who they're going with.
Nobody gets radicalized overnight. It's a process, whether it's through social media at home, whether it's interactions they have with different people that have radical views. But if we invest more time of empowering mothers and families in the home to ask questions of their children, we can prevent these things.
Yeah, we are hopeful, and I think we can. It takes time, but we will see the change. In Somalia, we'll get change.
Fartoon Adan and Ilwad Elman, her daughter, who are from Mogadishu and with the Elman Peace and Human Rights Center there. Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much having us here.
And that's all from us today. From the Nan and Bill Harris Studios at WGBH here in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. We're back with you tomorrow.
PRI, Public Radio International.